Genesis chapter number 22. I'd like to tell you that I'll get through this entire message, but I'm not going to lie to you because there's just so much involved. But if you listen, I believe God will speak to your heart. And that's what I want today. I want God to speak to your heart, not just this. When God gets a hold of your heart, then you're going to make different changes in your life that will honor and glorify Him. And that's what I'd like to see happen. And I believe the Lord would, and I believe you would in the long run. Genesis chapter number 22. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That's another message. And He said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. There's a good lesson for all of us right there. Look here. Lord, here I am. Whatever you need, whatever you want, whatever you desire, whatever your word says, here am I. Look at verse number 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Let me stop right there. There were a time or two where I'd take my three boys. I'd have taken them to that mountain. Yeah. I'd have offered them up freely, too. But God got a hold of him. Amen. You see, you're telling jokes. I'm trying to settle down my nerves here. I was nervous when I was a young preacher. When you get to be old, you get nervous again. Like, can you remember everything? And so forth. So, yeah, you've been there. In fact, some of you are still there. Verse 3, And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. You know, there's a lesson right there. You ought to mark it by. We just go where God told us to go and do what God told us to do. We all be in good shape. Verse 4, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham has told us so many messages here. By the way, you ain't going to see anything God has for if you're always looking down. Instead of looking into the Word of God, looking up to the God of the Word, you're not going to do anything for God. And then it says, verse 4, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, boy like that, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Thoughts were going through that young man's mind right then. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. You ought to put in parentheses himself, because he was the lamb. He was the lamb himself, a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Hey, guys, listen to me. If your daddy is a good Christian man and he's worth following, and by the way, you ought to obey your daddy no matter what, to some extent. I know growing up that's a little different, but hear me. Follow. If you got a godly father, follow your father. If you got a godly mother, follow your mother. That's what God would have you to do. Notice that, if you will. Verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there. By the way, if you'll study Abraham's life, it was all about altars. Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Stop right there, look up here. That boy never complained about one thing. We got too many complainers today when God puts us in a tight spot. And Abraham stretched forth, verse 10, his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know, boy, there's some words of God for you, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. Look, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went, took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. By the way, God made that ram available. He made Christ available too. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That is to say, this day in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Or what it really means is, He will provide. And God did. And by the way, again, he provided the Lord for you and I. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed, Abraham, shall all the nations of earth be blessed. By the way, that includes Will's Point, Edgewood, all around us here. He said, all the nations shall be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up, went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Here's what I want to talk to you about this morning for a little while. Why should I? You're the I, I'm the I. Why should I surrender my all to Jesus? Why should I surrender my all to Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and power here this morning in song and testimony. Lord, in everything we've done thus far, help this old preacher not to mess that up. Holy Spirit of God, come down, work within, help this preacher. Help me to be clear with the Word of God. Now, Lord, that it might bring what's needed to the lives of all that are here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake only we ask it all. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I wrote this down as I began today by way of introduction, and I want you to listen very carefully to the words of it. I was there when it happened. There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we can only hope and trust that it is so. Well, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, saved my wretched soul, the very moment He forgave me and made me completely whole. He took away my heavy burden, oh, listen to me now, and gave me rest and peace within. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, saved my soul. The very moment He forgave me, He immediately made me whole. He took away my heavy burden, and oh, my friend, He gave me peace within. I'm talking eternal peace that is still there today. Satan can't make me doubt it, and I shall not do so. It's real here and in my soul. Nobody can take away your salvation if you are actually saved today. Saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who on that cross gave His life freely, just as Abraham put His son, God put His son on the cross, gave Him freely for the entire world, for all time, until the rapture takes place or death invades your body. It's real. It's real, and I'm going to shout it, because I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know, and I know. I don't care who tells me salvation's not real, though Satan and the world may argue that it's not real. The heavy burden has been lifted, and the vile sins that was within are gone, because I was there when it happened, and not only do I guess I ought to know that I know that I'm born again. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, when He saved my soul. It was the very moment He forgave me and made me His own. He took away my heavy burden of sin and made me whole and made me His own to be used by Him. So why should I surrender? Why should I surrender my all to Jesus this morning? And that's really the title of the message, if you will. Why should I surrender my all this morning? All through the Bible, we find people who have surrendered their all to God. I can't number them all. I can't talk about them all, but we'll mention a few in just a moment. We find people who have surrendered their lives to God through salvation and through service and sanctification and on in their lives day by day. And sometimes in doing so, they were laughed at. They were scorned. They were made fun of. Surrendering their all meant a renunciation, if you will, of all those wicked things that they had been involved in, even if just being lost was all it was until they came to know Christ. If it meant their life, they were willing to give their life You can read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't have time to read, give you the whole library. But you read books like that and see where those people died for what they believed, what they knew they believed, what they known in their soul. And they gave their lives. They were burned at the stake. They were run through with spears, if you will. They were shot in recent wars. World War II, one of the worst, if you will. In Vietnam, same place. I know that for, as a record because I was there and heard of it and read of it, where people were killed because of their faith. North Vietnamese didn't like that. Look up here. Other countries don't like that about you right now. One of them's America on one side of everything, if you will. But how many of you know that you know that you know you're saved? Amen. Do you not think that's worth surrendering your all to Jesus? I believe it is today. I remember years ago, and I may have told you this story once before, but I remember years ago. Can't see that clock, but I can see that one. I remember years ago talking about the young man, Clarence Thibodeau, that graduated from the Bible college that I attended. And I remember he was there for a short time, or I was there for a short time after he came. And I graduated. He was still there. I'll never forget him telling me that about his salvation and when he got saved, how that he knew he was gloriously saved, no doubt about it. And he doubted it for his entire life till God in that Baptist church, that fundamental independent Baptist church, that he heard the preaching of the gospel and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Calvary for him. He got saved. He got born again. Look up here. But his family left him. His family gave up on him. His family were pure Catholic. I'm talking about New Orleans type Catholic, if you will, and strong in it. And when he got saved in the Baptist church, they wanted nothing else to do with him. But look up here. When he surrendered to preach the gospel, they shut him out of the family. The whole family gathered together with liquor, with everything else, and they had a wake. If you don't know what a wake is, that means they're putting somebody away their own way. Not God's way, but their own way. They had a wake, and they disowned him as him being dead, if you will. What did he do? He felt like the salvation God saved him with was worth surrendering his all to Jesus Christ. And so he went to Bible college. He got out. He got in the ministry. I don't know where he's at today, but I know he's out there somewhere. But think about it. Think about it. He was willing to leave family. He was willing to leave friends. He was willing to leave the Catholic Church. God help him on that. And then he got born again in an old-fashioned Baptist church. And then he went out and ministered unto others. He felt like what God had done for him was worth surrendering his all to Jesus. Look up here. I'll never get everything in here, but I hope you get this. I got news for you. Everything I am or ever will be is because of Jesus. Amen. This church is because of Jesus. It's not Carl Logdy, it's Jesus. I appreciate the word, but it's not. You want to go and put all those accolades on somebody like Carl Logdy? How about this? How about going back to Trinity Baptist Church in Grand Prairie with Dr. Tom Heath, my pastor, who taught me all about love, mercy, and grace, who taught me all about how to reach people, who taught me how to sent me out to this little city out here to start this church. It goes back beyond him to his daddy who was a preacher in Louisiana. Y'all listen to me. It goes back, and you're building that today. And young man, you've got a future ahead of you. You younger preachers got a future ahead of you. Don't you drop the Bible. Don't you drop your standards. Don't you drop that. It's why should we surrender all to Jesus? Because he surrendered all to us. I think about that, and I'd have no time to get into this, but I ask you maybe look it up on your own. John Sung, S-U-N-G, came over in 1920 from China. He was not able to worship over there as he did. He got saved when he was on a trip to America. He got born again. He went back. They'd have none of it. So he came back and went to college to get his degree in chemistry of all things. But when he came back in 1920, began to spread the gospel and preach and write and all those different things. And listen to me, he couldn't even get back in his own country. What did he do? He gave it all up. You got a revival coming real quick. What God's asking you to do is give yourself up to him. Give yourself up to leadership, whatever it is. You're to give everything you've got to him. If you believe what I read a moment ago, that you know that you're saved, that God has saved you for eternity, then it's our responsibility to give him everything we have to serve him. When I think about that Clarence Thibodeau, I think about others, and I have a whole list of people over the years, and you wouldn't know them if I called them, but I thought that was one of the best there, that he'd be disowned, if you will. Family didn't want anything more to do him because he became a Baptist preacher. God help us today. But that's where we are. But you know, there are others that surrender. Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Notice with me, if you will, now, Acts chapter 14. And you'll know the story when we get there. And we're going to hurry through them, but I want you to see this today. Acts chapter number 14. Look down at verse 14. The Bible said in verse 14, Acts 14, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among people crying out. I just want you to circle and underline or whatever the word Barnabas. I want you to look at it on your own. You can go to Acts chapter 4 and you can find other stories about that. But I want you to hear about Barnabas surrendered everything he had to God. He surrendered his all. Listen to me now. He was an apostle of the Lord. But more than that, look up here. Read your Bible. In fact, go to Acts chapter 4. We're right there. Go to Acts chapter 4. I can do this. My Sunday school teacher has us turning the pages all the time. Y'all wouldn't know who that was, would you? He's as old as I am, if not older. Does a good job, though. Acts chapter 4, look down at verse number 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. Do a study on that. A Levite in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Stop right there. Not only that, if you'll read further about Barnabas, look it up in your Bible, you'll find out he became a companion of the apostle Paul. I believe with all my heart, when you read, you'll find out with him there, with him supporting the apostle Paul became what God wanted him to become. By the way, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about God and God getting people that can help us get to the next level in our Christian walk with Him. That's what your pastor does. That's what your young preachers do. That's what Sunday school teachers do. That's what ministry people do, preparing others. Barnabas surrendered all. Question here. Question. Have you surrendered all this morning? You know, it's one thing going to church. Another thing just giving it all to God. Trusting God in every area of your life. Let me ask you this. Are you tithing? He said, there he goes again every time he preaches. Well, I got news for you. I want you to be right with God. I want you to be blessed of God. And I can't tell you how I've been blessed over the years by God. Not only God, but there's people in here. I'm looking. I want to point anybody out through people. Hello? God knows how to take care of his people. God knows how to take care of his preacher. Amen? But are you willing to sacrifice all? Are you willing to surrender all to Jesus? I said a moment ago, you got this big revival coming up. I'm looking forward to that. I've never heard him preach other than in a meeting at Brother Wido's one year. I've never heard him preach a revival meeting like that. But I'm looking forward to hearing him preach. Are y'all listening? Are you looking forward to it? Or is it just going to be another meeting we get through? Or is it going to be something that we actually pray about and pray for the preacher and pray for results? And as a young man, one young man is important to God. And you mentioned his name this morning that he got saved. And wouldn't to God that we'd get that excited about. And we would if we'd just give our all unto him. If we would surrender our all unto him in this world in which we live, this nation in which we live, this area in which we live is full of satanic forces. It's full of ungodliness. It's full of every type of it, whatever they call them different things out there. I never have understood all the words. They come woke and whatever. I don't even know what it all means. I know this, it's a stinking mess out there. And the only way that mess is going to get cleaned up is by winning souls for Christ, is by building the church for the glory of God, and young men coming along and taking the pulpit when the old man decides to get out. That's not good, but anyways, he's getting old. Barnabas surrendered all. Let me give you another one. Hurry, hurry. Hebrews chapter 11. Hurry up, or we're going to be here late, and he'll never let me preach again. Your preacher never runs late. Well, I didn't say it. Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody okay? All right, Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 24. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, boy, there's a good word, we ought to be choosing the right thing, choosing rather to suffer affliction, there it is, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season or a little while, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect on the recompense of the reward. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, fearing the wrath of the king for whom he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Listen to me carefully. We could go back and read, Moses was an heir to Egypt's throne in his day, but he gave his life to God, obeyed God. Moses surrendered all he had to be with the Lord's people. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of it. Moses became the leader of the Lord's people way back in Exodus 13. Go home and read all that on your own. You'll find that out. He became the leader of the Lord's people, but not until he heard the voice of God and obeyed the voice of God. Barnabas surrendered all. Moses surrendered all. Here's another one, Amos. Amos surrendered all. Listen to me, Dayton, if you can find it real quick back there, go to the book of Amos with me. You say, where's that? I don't know, I'm looking for it too. Book of Amos. And by the way, there's some good stuff here. Amos chapter number 7. Amos chapter number 7. I said, I don't think I ever heard of Amos. By the way, if you growing up and watch shows on TV, anybody remember Amos and Andy? Whoever remembers Amos and Andy, don't be lying, now you're in church. Well, that's them, all them old, that's a couple of young ones in there. That's the funniest show I ever watched. Look here, look here. Verse 14. Amos chapter 7, verse 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Watch. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people, Israel. He said, why do you read just those two verses? Because the book's too long to read. Read it on your own. But you'll find out he gave everything he had to the Lord. He gave his life to him. He gave that he owned in that day, that it was his possessions in that day, family to him. Moses did the same thing. Amos surrendered all. He was a herdsman. Amos surrendered to the service of the Lord. There in verse 15, Amos became God's messenger to the king of Israel, Jeroboam, if you will, in that day, because God seen a young man he could use. By the way, there's some young men, young ladies in here. By the way, us older men, older women, we can still serve the Lord. You know, there ought to be a soul-winning group for old people. And what we do is we just get one of them bands that lifts us up. Yeah. And low to the ground. And maybe even one of them things they call scooters. Wouldn't that be good? You imagine a bunch of old 65 to 85 year old people on scooters? I can't either. And I'm getting there quick. I don't know about you. I'm already thinking, have I surrendered all to Jesus this morning? I'm glad you're here. God's glad you're in His church this morning. But being in His church doesn't mean we've surrendered all to Jesus. There's a lot of programs in our church here. A lot of places we can be part of and minister. A lot of places. Choir, special music, whatever you're doing. Other programs in the church that I probably don't even know is going on myself. But I'm telling you that God's looking for us to surrender our all unto Him. Let me give you another one real quick. Matthew. Matthew surrendered all to Him. I'm just going to give you one verse here. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and I'll try not to read all of it, but I'll read some of it here. Luke chapter 5, and look down, if you will, to verse number 27. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And the Bible said, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, old tax guy, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Now look up here, right now. That's all. He'd done this several times in Scripture. Follow me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. Follow me. And simply put right here to Levi is follow me. Now watch what happens. Verse number 28. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Boy, listen to me. I'm recognizing in churches the altars are not being as used as they should be. Every single one of us, including this old feller, some of you old fellers and old ladies that can't get, older ladies that can't get down here, I understand. But if you need to come to an altar and I'm standing back there, grab me, I probably need to come too. I'll help you get down here. Because an altar is where God has met with his people all through the years. He said, well, I can build an altar anywhere. I got an altar in my heart. I got news for you. If you got an altar in your heart that won't bring you to your knees, you don't have an altar. You need to have an altar in your heart that'll bring you to your knees, that'll bring you to a place of humility, that whether you can kneel, old folk, listen to me, you can make your way to the front, sit on the front row and pray. That shows humility. That shows giving my all to Jesus Christ, who has given his all to us. And God blesses that. Matthew surrendered all, a tax collector. Thank God that tax collectors can get saved. Matthew surrendered to the Lord's call. Matthew became a disciple of the Lord, a hard worker for the Lord, if you will. And then there's one other, and this boy, this is the one I want to get to, and I'm there. Take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 9. Book of Acts chapter 9. There are literally dozens that have surrendered to the Lord in the Bible, you know that. But it shows five here, and this is the fifth one. Five is a number of grace. The Apostle Paul surrendered all. The Apostle Paul surrendered all. The Bible tells us, no term right there, but Acts 22, verse 3 says that Paul was educated in Jerusalem by Gamaliel. And then Paul surrendered his all for the Lord Jesus. You can read part of that in Philippians 3, 8, but Acts chapter 9 here, verse number 5, watch it. And he said, who art thou? You know, he's on the road to Damascus here. Verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? He knew. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight. How many of you believe your Bible say amen? He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here. Well, I'll tell you right now, look up here. Y'all really believe this? You imagine standing there all of a sudden God says something to you? You said, what do you think? Maybe just spoke to him in his heart. I don't know. This looks audible to me. Wouldn't that be something if God showed up like he did with Moses? Like he did with these other men we just read about so quickly and you can go back and read? He doesn't do that undoubtedly anymore that I know of. He's never talked to me personally as far as out in the field somewhere. Sometime I'm deer hunting. I wish he would, but right there. You're reading it. He talks to you all the time. Do you talk to him? Do you selfishly ask him to be sure and take care of you when you ought to be saying, Lord, what can I do to take care of you? What can I be doing to take care of your work? What can I be doing in my church that you've given me to be a member of? What can I be doing? That book is, listen. All of us have been called. All of us who have been saved. And we know we're saved. That's important. All of us who are saved need to understand that God has spoken. I don't need an audible voice. The audible voice I need is through the preacher of the gospel. preacher of the Word of God. Week in and week out, my pastor teaching me. You know, I can learn things from my own sons, and I have. I can be reminded of things from my own sons that preach in the pulpit, and I have. I can be reminded by other men of God, and I have. By the way, I can be reminded by women of God, not being as pastors, but just being good Christian women. Be good for some of us men. I've been listening to one for the last 50-something years, so. Oh, I love you, dear. I love you. Oh, glory to God. Now, see, there I lost my track here. I don't even know where in the world I'm at. Got kind of mushy. The Apostle Paul surrendered everything he had. 2 Timothy 4, hurry up. Hurry up. I'll let you out and go eat. I know that's the thing you got on your mind. 2 Timothy 4. You know where I'm headed. Anybody that's been in the Bible knows exactly where I'm headed. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse 5. The Bible said, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. That's what Paul was. Make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, warn them. For I am now ready. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. He was in prison. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. Boy, there's something we ought to ask ourselves. Are we really fighting the fight of faith? I have finished my course. We all have an individual course. I have kept the faith. Look up here. What a statement. Paul's talking to God. God's talking to Paul. And he says, I've kept the faith. I've been faithful from the beginning of my salvation on the road to Damascus. I've been faithful. And I'm still faithful. Watch now. Here it is. For I'm now ready to be offered. Verse 6. Watch. In the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them. That would include you and I who are children of God. Unto all them also that love His appearing. That brings me back to Jesus. You hear that? You didn't hear anything unless you're just hearing things. But one day the Lord's going to speak. Come up hither. Are you ready? Well, yes, I know. You read that whole thing. I know. I know. I know. I know I'm saved. Nobody can take that away. Satan can't take that away. I hope so. Because had I died before I got saved, I'd have went to hell after trying to think I was saved and wasn't. You know my testimony. I sure am glad God allowed me time to get saved in a church just like this. Now, I don't doubt it. I haven't doubted it since that day. And you're sitting here this morning. You say, well, what can I do for Jesus? Well, number one, get saved. Get saved. Get born again because He died for you. He gave His life on that old rugged cross. I'm glad y'all kept a cross in there. We had a cross when we began, and that's what it's all about. It's a cross of Calvary. But Jesus hung on that cross and went through all that torture, if you will, and spear in His side and spit on and beaten before He ever got put on that cross. Just for you. Just for you. And all He wants us to do is be faithful to church. Faithful with our tithe, which is His to begin with. Faithful with our faith promise missions, which is pretty much His anyways. He gave it to you to give. Faithful. 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 Why should I surrender my all to the Lord? Because of everything I just mentioned. And it becomes more personal when I think of it for myself. As I'm saved, God called me to preach. God gave me a lot of opportunities that I'd have never had it not been for Jesus. The only thing I had to look forward to without Jesus was hell and an eternity away from a God who loved me, who gave His Son for me, that I might know that I know that I'm saved. If we're going to ever hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over." If we're going to hear that from the lips of our Savior, then we're going to have to surrender our all here. I'm not talking about when you just have a program. I'm talking about every single day of our life. You wake up and say, "Lord, I don't know what I might have done when I was asleep, but I want you to crucify the flesh. I want to start over new, brand new every day." Maybe you're not. I have to do that. Amen. I know you don't think bad thoughts from time to time. You don't want to slap the guy on the other side of the highway that got in your way. You don't want to do that. I do. So I say, "Lord, forgive me." You say you do that often? Often. If you lived in the Metroplex, you'd be cussing by now. But I didn't do that. What I'm saying is, has he got your all? When soul winning comes, do you come? Do you make an effort to go? And if you can't go, look up here. If you can't go, because you might show up and pray while the others are out. That's where it's getting for me. And some of our senior saints used to do that. They couldn't get out and go. It's too hot, too muggy. They might have a heart attack and not have to go to the hospital or something. But you know what they can do? They can get up here, pray, talk about things in the past, and talk about their church and talk about their preacher in a good way. Amen. Listen to it again. I'm done. I was there when it happened. There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether we are all well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. Well, I got news for them. I was there when it happened. And so I guess that I know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me. He saved my wretched soul. It was the very moment he forgave me, made me completely whole. He took away my heavy burden, and he gave me total peace within. You know, when Jesus saved me, saved my soul, the very moment he forgave me, he made me completely whole. Oh, my friend, listen to me. He gave me peace within. I'm talking about eternal peace. To know that I know that I know I'm saved. Satan can't make me doubt it any longer. And I shall not do so myself. It's real now. Right here. And nothing will ever change that. It's real and I'm going to shout it. Because it's, listen, I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know. How many of you know this morning that you're saved? Say amen. Amen. I don't care who tells me salvation is not real, though Satan and the world may argue that it's not. The heavy burden has been lifted in my soul. And all the vile sins are ought not. Because I was there when it happened, so I know that I know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me. When he saved me. Save my soul. The very moment he gave me and made me, or saved me and gave me and made me his own, he took away my heavy burdens and sin and made me his very own. So why should I surrender my all to Jesus? That was the title of the message. Because, simply put, he surrendered his all to you and to you and to you. And to you, and to you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews. God is so good to us. He is so good to us. When I look in the Bible and find all the answers that I need, I'm amazed at what God allowed. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. I'm done. Look here. Here it is. Look at verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, you ought to underline for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, the Bible says in verse 3. Go back to verse 2. For the joy that was set before him. You've heard me preach this over and over. Look up here. You're his joy. You're his joy. For the joy that was set before him. I'm talking about your soul being saved. Going to Calvary. He gave it all. Why should we give it all? Because he gave it all. That's a simple truth. But hear me. That's not always simply obeyed as it should be. What about you this morning? Have you given your all? You're getting ready, as we talked about, for the revival coming up. And why wait on the revival? Why not get it all together today? How's your Bible reading going? How's your soul winning going? How's your separation, your standards in your life going? Are you lined up with Christ? Are you lined up with the Word of God instead of lined up with Fox News or CNN or whatever else is going on? Who are you trusting? What are you trusting in? How about just making Him today, just making Him all you need? First through salvation, because you ain't getting to heaven without it. You say, well, I don't know what salvation is. Come on up here, I'll help you. Come on up here in a minute and I'll show you. Or we got others getting to show you. And some of you young men and young ladies in here today, God's speaking to you about serving Him full time in the years to come. Now's a good time to start by just surrendering to that. Surrendering to the thought that God may be able to use me, use a lady. You read through the Bible, you read about Christian women over the years, and they surrender to God. God used them in great ways. And young men, as we have them seen through this church over the years, who gave their life to become a preacher of the gospel and maybe even a pastor of the church. I'm looking at the future pastor right here. That's just me, okay? What better fit? Right here. Right here. You could be. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to you. You could be a pastor down the road. Missionary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you already are. You're just not the pastor yet. God has some special stuff assigned just for you when the time comes. And now you. Yeah. Yeah. Aren't y'all glad they're getting married? I am too, because they're sitting awful close. Why should I surrender my all to Jesus? Look up here. You're going to have to answer that one yourself. We've looked at a lot of different things, a lot of different people quickly, and I know we're running a little late, but look up here. Why should you surrender your all to Jesus? It's a personal thing.